Welcome to a special edition of the Lab of Global Leaders podcast. Here is our special guest host, Dr. Anees Abdul-Hamid.
We are pleased to have with us today Dr. Prashobhan Balakrishnan. Dr. Prashobhan is also fondly known as Shobhan. How are you doing today, Shobhan?
Hi, Dr. Anees. I'm great.
Would you like to take a moment to introduce yourself in your own words, a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Okay. All right. I'm Dr. Prashobhan Balakrishnan. I'm also known as Dr. Shobhan. Some people also call me Dr. Burn. All right. But I don't want to confuse you all. Just call me Shobhan. Okay. Okay. I have an undergraduate degree in medicine from Manipal Academy of Higher Education. That was back in 2006. And then I did my postgraduate specialization in pathology from the University Putra, Malaysia. That was back in 2015. So currently, I am a pathologist in the Allergy and Immunology Research Center in Institute for Medical Research, which is actually under the National Institute of Health, NIH, Malaysia, currently. So, so we are based in Setia Alam now. We have moved our office from last time. Previously, it was in Jalan Pahang, and currently, we are in Setia Alam.
Okay. And Shobhan, this is like a different entity, right? I mean, now you're under like a research-based institute versus where like I am in the hospital base. So how was the transition from clinical lab work to a research lab work?
Okay. Actually, I would say this was not a complete transition, you know, from a clinical lab, because my work actually, I'm still dealing with a lot of clinical work, but at the same time, you also do research. Being in IMR, actually, although it's Institute for Medical Research, it started off as a pathology institute back in the 1900s, you know, when it established first. So we are still doing a lot of clinical work, clinical in the sense that clinical lab, right, for diagnostics and basically for diagnostics, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time, you also have to do research. And at the same time, you also have to train others. All right. So we also have our local program. I think, you know, this mm-hmm. diploma in medical microbiology. And then we have got the immuno module and viro modules. And it's all in that program. Mm-hmm. So you will have to do your diagnostic work. You'll have to do your research work. And you'll also have to train others. All right. Because this is a reference laboratory. It's a, I would say IMR is basically a very specialized center in Malaysia, because we do all the they do all the specialized, highly specialized tests, which I think the secondary hospital or tertiary hospitals don't cater for the public. Yeah. So I would say, yeah. So we are still doing some of the specialized, you know, diagnostic tests. And being in immunology, you know, this is actually a niche area. Okay. So even some of the hospitals in Malaysia, they don't cater certain tests. So we have to offer that, being one of the most famous immunology center in Malaysia. So we have to, you know, cater all the specialized tests for the public.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Could you then describe the structure or the organization of the lab in IMR? I mean, the overview on, so that our listeners can understand how's the structure like.
Okay, IMR basically, I would just say overall, in the sense that under NIH, mm-hmm. all right, under NIH, you have got quite a number of institutes, and IMR, we have got about 6 institutes actually, and IMR is the biggest institute under NIH. Mm-hmm. Okay. And under IMR, we have got various research centers. We call it the research centers, and it's basically a department, right? Mm-hmm. So we call it research centers. And one of it is this Allergy and Immunology Research Center. So it's headed by Dr. Masita Arif, our senior pathologist, a consultant pathologist, basically. And then we have got several units under Allergy and Immunology Research Center. So to name them, one of it is Allergy Unit, mm-hmm. and then Primary Immunodeficiency Unit, Autoimmune Unit, and then Transplant Immunology Unit and Immunogenetics Unit. Okay, basically, there are 5 units under the Allergy and Immunology Research Center. All 4, actually 5 are there, but immunogenetics only focuses on research. They don't actually offer diagnostic tests. I think if they want in future, they could actually offer this, genetics, immunogenetics for diagnostic purposes, they can. But currently, they are only focusing on research. So the other units, namely the allergy, primary immunodeficiency, autoimmune, and transplant immunology, we cater both in the sense that we have diagnostics as well as research.
Mm. Okay. So in these different units, how's the structure? Like you have the pathologists, then you have your scientists, and could you describe that further for us, please?
I will have to stress that some units are not headed. You have got head of units in each unit, right? Mm-hmm. But some of the head of units are not pathologists. So you can have a very senior science research officers or a medical officer, a very senior medical officer who has done the PhD. Like in US, they do MD, PhD, right?
Yeah.
So that will be like my unit, Primary Immunodeficiency Unit, is headed by Dr. Adi Ratna. She has done an MD and PhD in immunology from Japan. So she is the one that is heading our primary immunodeficiency unit. And allergy unit is headed by Dr. Normalin, is a medical officer. And then autoimmune unit is headed by Dr. Siti Fatima. She's a pathologist. Transplant immunology is headed by Dr. Nor Hazlin, also a pathologist. So actually, we actually intend to bring in more pathologists in to be the head of units in the future. And then under this pathology, we will have, under these pathologies, we have got science officers, we have got research officers, and then we have got research assistants and also medical officers. Mm-hmm. Right? Some of them, after their housemanship in the clinical side, being in the hospital for several years, 1 or 2 years after their housemanship, they will be placed in IMR as well. So we have got medical officers in IMR as well.
Okay. And then when you go further, like you have your lab tech.
Lab technicians, yes.
Okay.
And we also have assistant scientific officers, I think basically they are also doing the lab technicians work. Only thing is that they have degree. Prior to this, the older generations of lab technicians, they used to have diploma.
Yeah.
All right. Those who have got degree, they progress into this hierarchy called assistant science officer.
Oh, okay. So they also, they're part of the lab work and the research.
Yeah, thing. Exactly. Yeah, they do a lot of hands-on.
Okay. So now, Shobhan, when did you notice your affinity towards immunology?
Wow, okay. This one, I must say that I think during my first year of my postgraduate specialization in pathology, to tell you frankly that actually I was under the hematology quota. Okay, in Malaysia, if you want to do the master's, right, you will be already designated into a particular field before you even enter, you start doing your master's. I think you know about it, right?
Yes, I know. We were the two rebellious ones where we switched from our prior specialization and into microbiology.
Yes, yes, exactly. So I was under the hematopathology sort of thing, right? Because I only had exposure in hematology lab. That was from Hospital Ampang. Mm-hmm. So obviously, I will choose hematology. So when I went through the first year, I went through everything, right? So I sort of like developed my interest in immunology. But immunology in Malaysia, you don't have a separate entity and it comes under the microbiology field. So that's when I decided to switch from hematology to microbiology. And I was I was the last candidate to ever do that myself. And you probably
we were the last to do that. Yeah. I think we set the record for that.
we switched our field. So ever since then, I was doing everything related to immunology. Even my master's thesis for micro, you know, pathology, microbiology is on immunology. I did on HLA typing on chronic hepatitis B patients. So there's something related to immunology. So after that, I actually requested, I went and met this deputy DG of health then, Dr. Shanas, and I requested, I told her that my interest is on immunology and I would like to actually join the Allergy and Immunology Research Center in IMR. And it so happened, she was like, okay, she said this, that, you know, it's rare to see people who want to voluntarily want to do immunology. So we'll try our level best. And then she did a level best. And yeah, I'm here in IMR now in Allergy and Immunology Research Center.
And I can say that during our postgrad, you were like our reference point for a lot of the topics when it comes to immunology, because you were like our, you know, mentor in that subject. So I'm glad that now you're in that field too, because you're really passionate about it. So now what is your current focus within the field of immunology?
Okay, so my current focus is basically on primary immunodeficiency. So we are actually trying to improvise a lot of these diagnostic tests as well. Currently, I've also introduced these immunoglobulin G subclasses, which I think not offered anywhere in Malaysia at the moment. So we have already started getting a lot of requests and samples are already coming in, you see. So these are for, it helps for primary immunodeficiency patients as well as autoimmune. I think if you look at the recent journals and all, right, they do mention there is a very strong correlation between primary immunodeficiency and autoimmune.
Okay. How does the IgG subclass come? I mean, we just dive a little bit into, just because you brought it up. So
IgG subclasses, there are four subclasses. There are G1, G2, G3, and G4. So this will be helpful in primary immunodeficiency per se. And at the same time, it can also help in other autoimmune diseases like autoimmune pancreatitis, autoimmune hepatitis, you know, this kind of diseases, nephritis, interstitial tubulonephritis. There are some diseases, you know, which can be helpful for this. They are called IgG4 related diseases. You know, you can see that this IgG4 will be markedly elevated in these cases.
Interesting.
So,
these markers, do they predict the disease from occurring too? Is it possible? Like if it's sent as, you know, just to screen a person potentially developing autoimmune, any of these autoimmune diseases, is there a role for that?
Yeah, I think the thing is you have to go holistic approach, you see. It's not basically for screening purpose, but you have to have you have to use the clinical pathological correlation, you see, where the patient is having the symptoms and all, you know, the other markers are also there, you know, he's having pancreatitis, you know, autoimmune pancreatitis, it's not other forms of pancreatitis. So you have to go clinical as well. You have to look into the clinical picture as well, presentations,
Okay, so you have to rule out the common causes first and then we'll come to this.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you can't actually straight away. I would recommend them to do the basic IgG, A and M, and before doing this G1, G2, G3 and G4 subclasses.
Okay, then what else is there?
Yeah, what other tests that we do is we do the basic lymphocyte subset enumeration. That is called sort of TB NK, you know, that is T cell, B cell, and NK cell enumeration. And also immunoglobulin G, A, M, and C3, C4. So these tests are all basically for primary immunodeficiency preliminary screening. So before you do any other further tests like functional assays, we would recommend them to do this particular screening, preliminary screening test, which is lymphocyte subset enumeration, immunoglobulin GAM, as well as C3 complement, C3 and C4. Okay. Thereafter, you will proceed with, you know, depending on, because there are various, this one, right? For example, like combined immunodeficiency, you will want to look whether it's T cell, B cell, and then you will go for functional assays like lymphocyte proliferation test, which we are planning to switch to, you know, ELISpot assays in next few months. Then we have got dihydrorhodamine assay, DHR, which is for neutrophil function tests. And then we have got BTK protein assay for X-linked A-gamma globulinemia. So these are all the tests that we do. And we are planning to start on NK cell cytotoxicity that is under Dr. Adi Ratna. She's the main person, focal person for that particular test. So we are doing quite a bit in the sense that we are covering a lot of tests that is not catered elsewhere in Malaysia.
Okay. And how would you suggest that, know that these tests are available, but you want them to be a bit more judicious? How do we create that awareness?
Mm-hmm. Okay, for this, I will actually have to recommend that, you know, the ministry or probably those who are in the hospital side should keep in touch with us more often.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, they don't know actually what are the tests for, you see.
Mm-hmm.
The awareness is not there. One thing, another reason is, you know, the housemans and the MOs, they keep changing. And then the information is not passed on to them or to their juniors, you know, those mm-hmm. who are taking over their places, it's not passed on to them. So, so one way is for the clinical side, those who are dealing with this immunology or allergy cases on a daily basis, please do join the Malaysian Society of Allergy and Immunology. So you can participate in our conferences. We have got through that, actually, it opens a window for this APACHE, you know, there's something called Asia Pacific Association of Asthma, Allergy and Clinical Immunology.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually part of it as well. So I became a junior member in it. And you can actually participate in their forums and dialogues. And you can actually ask, there will be Q&As with the experts, the regional experts from, you know, from Hong Kong, from Singapore, Australia, the Asia Pacific region, regarding some topics on allergy and immunology. So there are a lot of opportunities there to actually venture into, so that you will create the awareness and learn a lot of things on immunology.
What else can you advise for someone that's keen in the field of immunology so that they can gain more knowledge?
Okay, first of all, they will have to see what is their career goal, you see, whether they want to do fully research or whether they want to do fully clinical or they want to have a mix of both. But I would say that you don't only focus on research alone or only on clinical side alone. Have a good mix. And at the same time, you also have to do teaching, lecturing, you know, training other junior doctors and researchers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So being in IMR, I think that being in this department, Allergy and Immunology Research Center in IMR, I think that was something good, a good decision that I made, where, you know, I can actually have a good mix of this research, diagnostics, and, you know, lecturing. So I would advise them to be prepared for all these, you know, to venture into all these things, all these fields. And at the same time, look for opportunities, right? Always look for opportunities. There are many courses worldwide, you know. There are some courses on immunology, like a one-year master's program in immunology in the UK, in Ireland. Even Thailand has got this MSc Medical Immunology in, if I'm not mistaken, the University of Mahidol.
Mm-hmm.
So they do offer all this kind of programs, but that is a two-year program. In Thailand, it's a two-year program. But in the UK and Ireland, it's a one-year master's program. So these are all the opportunities available. There's also some short schools, you know, immunology schools in German. I'm also a trainee member in the German Society for Immunology, DGFI. Yeah, so that is yeah, you can actually join their immunology school. They have got their autumn school and their spring school of immunology. They have got their translation immunology school. So I'm supposed to go, but I'm just looking for the right time to participate in the future. So okay, there are various opportunities available. So you just have to look, browse, use the Google, right?
Okay. So Shubham, what else can you tell us about the role of immunology in Malaysia?
Immunology in Malaysia is something new. I would say it's been there for some time, mm-hmm. but because it's overlapped, you know, with other fields, like, you know, like cancer immunology is there, but it's also monitored by the oncologist. It also overlaps with a lot of hemato cases, you know. Mm-hmm. So there is some sort of overlap. Also rheumatologists when it comes to autoimmune. Transplant immunology is also there. So when it comes to, you know, transplant specialists, you know, we deal like transplant, those you have to give them the HLA typings before you do the transplant, right? So mm-hmm. there has to be a match. So I would say it has already been there, but as a separate entity, it is still not given a full recognition by the Ministry of Health Malaysia. I think now there is one candidate from the KKM side, but under PEDS, she's a pediatrician, currently doing a sub-specialization in pediatric infectious disease and immunology. She's currently in India. So I think she will be one of the pioneer candidates, but that is only focusing on pediatric immunology. Probably, perhaps, they should also send someone from the internal medicine field, right, to go to do something on the whole of immunology. Like in Australia, I think this guy, Dr. Stephen from Australia, is quite a famous immunologist. He's an immunologist and also an immunopathologist. All right, so I think we need something like that in Malaysia.
Okay, thank you. I would agree with you. There's so many times that we might be stumped for a diagnosis, and I remember someone saying that immunology is it is the basic of everything, of all diseases. Knowing your immunology, exactly, you'll be able to, be able to talk about all the pathogenesis of all sorts of diseases if your immunology basis is strong.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you very much. That was very insightful. I mean, Shubham, along the way, mm-hmm. who would you like to acknowledge, anyone who has inspired you through your journey from your beginning until now?
Okay, I would like to acknowledge Dr. Shanas as my role model as well. She has done her training basically on immunology back in the 90s, I suppose. And she was also a Chevening scholar, right, mm-hmm. back in the 90s, if I'm not mistaken. So she was actually the head of Allergy and Immunology Research Center. And then she went on to become the director of IMR. And then she moved on and became the deputy DG, Deputy Director General of Health. And she was the main person who actually placed me in IMR. So she is my role model.
Is there any advice that you like to impart besides all that resources and all? Any other advice you like to impart on anyone venturing into laboratory medicine in general and immunology?
And then, plan your career in advance. You have to have your career goal. That's the most important thing. Once you have your career goal, that's when you start to make, you know, your journey. You have to start your journey with your career goal first, where you want to be in the next 5, 10 or 15 years time. So you have to start looking at that. Then only you have to, pave the path towards that. So that is my advice for those who want to go into this field, because pathology per se is very broad. I would say, you know, after this COVID, you know, pathology and especially microbiology, you know, people started, looking up to us, you know, microbiology, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
we became the forefront of things.
Yeah, we became the forefront. Yeah, that's right. So pathology is quite broad. So there are many fields in it. So first of all is look at your career goal, what you want to be in the next 15 years or what, then go according to that.
Okay, that's very good advice. Thank you so much, Shobhan, for spending your evening with us today and shedding
You're
some
welcome.
Light. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you too, although, you know, with our busy schedule and although we are not too far from each other, but yes, we have yet to catch up. Thank you again. And
yes, thank
I
you.
Hope.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, and that we will meet again soon.
Yeah, yeah, sure, Anis. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
To make a suggestion of someone that would make a great guest or topic you would like to hear more about, please visit us at labop.org. That's labopp.org.